Right now, joining us on the phone is our old friend Chris Williamson from the Chasing Earhart podcast and the Chasing Earhart Project. ChasingEarhart.com is the website. Chris, how are you this morning? What did I do wrong? Chris, are you there?
I sure am. Hey, how are you doing, Matt?
I think I hit the wrong button. I'm good. How are you?
I am well, doing well.
We appreciate you staying up late for us. The latest edition I'm reading on the website right now, ChasingEarhart.com, the latest podcast that you guys have out has an interview that was done with the last person known to speak with Amelia Earhart on her fateful voyage. Now, that's not an interview you guys can do now, because that person, I imagine, is long gone. But it's pieces of an interview they did back in 1973. Is that right?
Yeah. It's actually going to be coming out tomorrow. Later on tonight, actually. It's Saturday night it comes out. So it's one of our icon interviews. It's with Leo Bellart. And he was the last person to actually speak with Earhart when she famously said the lines, we must be on you but cannot see you. And she was kind of communicating with the Itasca. And he is the chief radio man on the Itasca. So it's a very interesting interview to get some of that insight when it comes to Amelia Earhart's sort of final moments and the last person to speak with her.
So where she goes down, is it considered the Pacific where she was?
Yeah. So she went down in the Pacific, right in the middle of the Pacific, kind of right near Howland Island, according to Mr. Bellart and a lot of other folks who believe that she did crash and sink in the ocean. So she was, on the last leg of her journey. She had about 7,000 miles to go, and this was a good chunk of that 7,000, about 2,500 of those 7,000 miles. And that's where she went down and where all the issues happened. And that's the last we heard of Miss Earhart, Mr. Noonan.
So when Bellart was interviewed in 1973, his belief was that she crashed and sank and just died in the ocean.
Yes. He as he put it, he always believed that she went into the drink and that she, he kind of believed that. And it's interesting to kind of hear the logs, the actual logs that he wrote, and that as he heard them and as he was hearing her words, he wrote down exactly what he heard. And he always believed, and most of the folks aboard the Itasca, matter of fact, actually all the folks aboard the Itasca, always believed that she went down into the ocean.
Was that just the general belief back then? Was it only years later that the island, that pieces were discovered on an island, or that there was thinking that it could have landed on this island? Were those theories more later? Was everybody back at that time more of just the general thought that, she crashed?
Yeah, I think that was really the general consensus, that she crashed in the ocean. That was the official, and still is, the official United States government, explanation for what happened to Mr. Earhart and Mr. Noonan. So it was really, really at the time, kind of the only option. And then, several years later, some of these hypotheses that are being worked now to this day started kind of, becoming, I guess, were birthed and started becoming worked. And at that point, because the whole kind of Pandora's box opened as far as what happened to her.
All right. So there was a History Channel documentary over the summer that was, very interesting or gained interest because of this photograph that claimed that it could be Fred Noonan and Amelia Earhart and a wrecked plane being dragged by a boat off in the distance. Before we go into the controversy that came after the special about the photograph, tell me what you think again about the photograph itself, because it's not like you're seeing Amelia Earhart and Fred Noonan in the photograph. You're like, she's got her back to the camera. She's got a short haircut, and that's the giveaway. Forensically looking at him, it looks like his receding hairline and things like that. When you look at the photograph, do you think this is more people wanting to believe it's them, or do you think there's actually some fire to that smoke?
Well, it's certainly possible. The Japanese capture hypothesis has been worked since the 1960s when Fred Gerner sort of opened that whole hole of all that work that's been done since then. So this particular photograph, it was found in the National Archives. Really nothing gets in the National Archives by accident. They just kind of came across this thing. And it's certainly compelling. I can see where people would imagine that this could be, in fact, Amelia and Fred. If it is in fact it's being worked at the moment to actually be verified, and if it is verified to be 100% legitimate, you really have the closest thing ever to a smoking gun. Everybody keeps talking about the smoking gun in this case, and of course that in this case would be the plane or remains of some kind. But if this photo is to be determined to be real completely, and it is actually being them, this is a smoking gun, because you have, as you said, Amelia. you've got Fred, you've got what appears to be a Japanese ship towing on a barge, something that looks an awful lot like the Lockheed Electra Tenny, the flying laboratory, as Amelia called it. So, you know, it's just one of those things. The Japanese capture hypothesis has been largely eyewitness testimony based, you know, this whole time. Yeah. And now they have something that's sort of a physical, possibly a physical, tangible piece of evidence that they can kind of go on. And, you know, we've talked to a lot of the players in that documentary, and the original documentary was slated to be 4 hours. So there's more. There's a lot more that they have. And they're actually working on a part two of that documentary, believe it or not. And hopefully that will come out probably in the next year or two. And, you know, we've talked to them, and they stand behind that photo 100% that is, in fact, them.
Well, let's talk about that, because then after the special comes out, a history blogger in, I believe in Japan, says that, no, this photo was printed in a book 2 years before Amelia crashed. And the History Channel came out right away saying we'll look further into it, et cetera, et cetera. But I haven't heard anything more about that. Do we know when that photo was actually taken, or was it truly in a book that was published 2 years before she crashed?
Well, there's been speculation as to whether or not it's actually been a book, or if it's actually an official book, or just a bunch of, you know, images and stuff thrown together by a loose kind of binding, and just, you know, that's kind of how it worked at that point, and that's how they did it. So, you know, when the blogger came out with this, you know, really pretty much right after it happened, it really obviously made it very controversial, that whole thing, because this was really the centerpiece of that whole special. You know, before this came out, you got to remember the photo dropped during the anniversary of the disappearance last year. Mm-hmm. So ahead of the actual documentary. So as soon as that photo dropped, as you mentioned, History got out in front of it and you know, decided that they were going to launch their own investigation. And we have not heard anything. No one's been privy to that information yet, but I can tell you that the people that were involved in that documentary immediately went out to Saipan, immediately started doing research on what the Japanese blogger stated, you know, was in fact a photo that was taken from a Japanese travel log book in 1935, which would have been 2 years prior to the disappearance of Amelia Earhart and Fred Noonan. And it's still being worked at this point. And I think there's getting ready to be some stuff that'll be coming out pretty soon here that will kind of be the next steps in that investigation, whether it goes, you know, the way of proving that photo is true or whether it's not, we're all going to have to wait and find out.
It sounds to me, Chris, like you're privy to a little bit of information on how that investigation is going, and you're holding back on me.
Well, I wouldn't say I'm holding back on you. I would say that I'm just allowing the folks that originally broke that particular photo to kind of, you know, steer the ship, and so to speak, because those are the people. You got to keep in mind, these guys have been working this for 30 years of their lives. It's everything to them. And the gentleman who broke it, Les Kinney, is a really great guy, very knowledgeable. He's been researching Earhart for 30 years of his life, 10 years now full time. I imagine that they're getting ready to do something with this photo to kind of push this in the next, you know, I guess in the next step, into the next step, I should say. So we'll see. We're not as privy as I'd like to be, but I can tell you that from the folks I've talked to regarding, you know, that special, I don't think it's over. I think there's a lot more that's going to be coming. I think it's just the tip of the iceberg.
From the tone of your voice, I think you're hoping that they've got some good stuff coming out. So we'll sit by and wait. That's fine.
Yeah.
Now, USA Today had a story earlier this week about a gentleman who says his uncle worked at the prison where Earhart and Noonan were taken and killed, according to this guy who said his uncle told him the story way back in the day. What do we know about this?
Well, it's just really, you know, it's just the next eyewitness testimony. I mean, the Japanese and the people in the islands of Saipan, this was just second nature for them to know that they were there. You know, it's part of their history, according to them. And, you know, we've spoken with folks, representatives of the Republic of the Marshall Islands, and they have told us that, look, they stand by their ancestors. This is stuff that was passed down generation to generation. Nobody has any reason to lie. You know, it's just all there. It's all put out there. And this guy, you know, Bill, his name is Bill Sablon. And, you know, it's not old news, to be honest with you. You know, Joe Jervis and Fred Gerner, you know, talked to his parents and his uncle and everything back in the 60s. So this is just sort of the next piece of eyewitness testimony. And as we both know, that the Japanese capture is, you know, 99% based on eyewitness testimony. And I think it's not the not the end of it. It'll keep coming. I don't think, I don't think it's going to stop anytime soon. So it's very interesting. I think it's a very personal, intimate connection to Earhart and Noonan, if they were in fact there, that his uncle worked at the prison where they were held. And, there's no reason for them to lie according to, their ancestors and according to the Republic of the Marshall Islands. There just isn't. It just kind of is what it is. And it's always been very interesting to see that, because these people don't really seem to care if you believe them or not. They're just kind of telling you history. It's almost as if we would say, well, this is what happened when they signed the Declaration of Independence, and, it just is what it is. It's our history. It's sort of the same concept here. And so, it's been interesting to see that kind of combated with, the scientific approach that other folks are taking to other hypotheses that are being worked. And, if you look at it like a jury trial case, you have to ask yourself, what's more relevant? What's more credible? If you have 200 eyewitnesses versus, a group of circumstantial evidence, what would you pick? What would you be convinced by? So it's very interesting to see it.
So this happened 80 years ago, right? 80 years ago. Is there, we just opened up all these documents about the JFK case.
Yes.
Do you believe, there's speculation that the U.S. government knew that maybe even the remains were relocated.
Right.
Are there documents, are there sealed documents that could be released, do you believe? Do we know if there are documents that are top secret or anything like that, that the government could release if they wanted to?
I can tell you with almost absolute certainty that there is, that they have documentation on what truly happened to Amelia Earhart. Now, whether that gets revealed to be, hey guys, she just crashed and sank, I'm sorry, that's it. Or yes, there is some truth to the fact that she was captured by the Japanese, or, whatever else that could be within those documents that are sealed right now. There is stuff to be uncovered. There's been hundreds of Freedom of Information Act requests that have been filed with folks that are working various hypotheses regarding the Japanese capture, under the Japanese capture umbrella. And there's been a lot of, FOIA requests that have been denied, which is very interesting. Why would you deny it if it's not something important, if there's something that's crucial there that they don't want people to know about? So you got to keep in mind that, she was very tight with FDR and Eleanor Roosevelt at the time. Mm-hmm. This is something, FDR is widely touted is a very beloved president. And if something were to happen at that point, or even now, let's say, to get out that he was either directly or indirectly involved in the disappearance by either setting her up to do something that she wasn't really comfortable with doing, or, the list goes on and on and on, it could really change history, not only with Amelia Earhart, but with FDR. It really can send ripples throughout, different people's paths and different people's histories. So, I think that's why it's very kind of a touchy subject when it comes to releasing those documents, if they do in fact exist. And I believe that there's more to the story than what is being told, obviously.
Well, ultimately, if the documents were going to be released, who has the ultimate power to decide that?
Well, I think it really kind of falls on the president. He was the one that kind of, gave the go ahead and the green light to release and okay the JFK stuff.
Right.
I think if tomorrow President Trump decided he wanted to, let's just release everything we have on Earhart, I think it'd be a lot of mighty interested people. I mean, obviously the History Channel documentary, if it proved anything at all, and I talked to Dick Spink, we had him on the podcast a few episodes back, and I told him if it proves anything at all, it's that the world still is very deeply invested in what happened to Amelia Earhart and Fred Noonan. And I think if that were to be suddenly released and he were to okay that, I think you have a lot of mighty interested parties wanting to go through those documents and see exactly what happened, because there's all kinds of interesting stuff that could have possibly happened.
I think you're absolutely right. I think there would be a lot of fascination about it. And I think that, Chris, this is a golden opportunity for you guys, because President Trump, I don't know if you've heard, but there's been a lot of stuff in the news that maybe isn't the most fun for him to have people reading about. And, what a great diversion to have some other type of news, quite honestly, especially if it shows that some other president maybe did things, a beloved president that people didn't love. I think that you guys should be appealing somehow through Trump's people directly to President Trump to say, hey, this is 80 years old. There is no reason to hold this back. Now, you've got a great relationship with the prime minister from Japan. And this was a different time. And let's release this so that we can, you know, solve one of America's great mysteries. I could see him being like, yeah, what the hell? Let's do it.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I think he might just decide he would want to do that. And, you know, we're working on that. And I'm sure we're not the only ones. There's a lot of people that would be mighty interested in that. So, you know, it's really this whole thing has just been as sort of like an observer, which is what our team is. I mean, because we're sort of compartmentalizing everything, just putting everything together for folks out there. It's certainly interesting. And it's certainly a lot of fun to see everything that's happened. Just, you know, every time an Earhart story breaks, you mentioned she's a great diversion. People love to kind of revisit her story and revisit the mystery. And it is really the greatest missing persons case and probably of all. Yeah. What happened to this woman? She just disappeared. Her and Fred just disappeared, vanished off the face of the earth. And we truly don't know. And really, that's kind of the most compelling thing that general audiences are just, you know, clamoring for. That's, you know, we watch it all the time. People are, you know, they'll post something like the coconut crabs thing that was in the news recently, and they'll post the story that we've just been talking about with the gentleman regarding his uncle in the prison. I mean, every time something comes up, regardless of what it is and regardless of how big or small it is, it really continues to capture the imagination. It's just another little piece of evidence. And, you know, building a case is like building a house. Every little piece helps. And so these people are just they're excited to learn more. And I think it's just an interesting kind of thing to look at and observe.
It really is. And to think about 80 years later, how interested we are in it. Imagine at the time that she was so famous and so popular at the time, right? This would be like, who would be the modern day equivalent that if they just disappeared off the face of the earth? I don't know. Maybe it's like Brad Pitt or Angelina Jolie I don't know, who, somebody who's just so, you know, Michael Jordan, somebody who's just so famous around the world, just disappearing off the face of the earth. That would drive us insane. It's as if Princess Diana went into that tunnel and just never came out the other end.
Right. Yeah, you're right. I mean, I would imagine someone like a Richard Branson or a Musk or someone like that just kind of just disappear off the face of the earth, and that was it. It just evaporated into thin air, it appears. People want to know, and people are, this mystery as Americans, we love a good mystery, and we don't love, or we don't like when things are just left undone. And this is the biggest undone, one of the biggest undone ever. What in the world happened to this woman who really was, you know, this is a woman at the time was just a fearless adventurer. You know, she had a handle on fear. She, she famously said, you know, I thought about what would happen if I didn't make it back. And if I did, you know, once I thought about it and gave it a little bit of attention, there really was no reason to revisit it. It was a thought, and that was it. And, she went for it, and she did something incredibly heroic. And Fred Noonan, who was her navigator, was incredibly heroic for going with her in doing this. Because at the time, I mean, you know, the equatorial route they were taking, and it hadn't been done, you know, and it was just it was scary. And you got to keep in mind that they made it 3/4 of the way around the world.
Yeah.
You know, they were on their way home. You know, they're 7,000 miles away, and it's a really sad thing that at the very end they just didn't quite make it. But I think it really speaks to her impact and her legacy now, that look, you can have, do, or be anything you want. You can truly go after whatever you want. And if you fail, you fail, but at least you go after it. And that impact really it still resonates. It still sends ripples now to the, you know, I can't tell you how many 8 or 9 year old kids I see dressed up as Amelia Earhart still 80 years later. There's a reason why this woman impacted the entire planet and continues to do so. And I think because of that, and because of that impact, and because of that legacy, we're always going to want to know, and we're always going to be searching. And it's really part of the United States mentality. You know, military mentality. We bring everybody home, you know, and she was never brought home, and we want to bring her home. And that's kind of, I think that's a sentiment that a lot of our guests, you know, we have over 200 guests in the project, and I think it's a sentiment that a lot of those folks share. They want to bring her home. They want to have some kind of finality, regardless of what it is. You know, they want it to be some kind of final end to her story. And it's just the last chapter hasn't been written yet. It's continually written, as a matter of fact.
Chris Williamson from the ChasingEarhart.com website and podcast, the new podcast out later today with the last man who spoke to Amelia Earhart. And there's a documentary in the works, right?
Yes, sir. Yeah, we're working on it. We've been shooting the documentary since March of this year, and we've got approximately 200 hours of footage already. We could probably put a documentary out right now, but we're going to be shooting probably for the better part of 2018. And maybe even a little bit into 2019, and we're tentatively planning for a fall of 2019 release, but that could push a little bit depending on, you know, kind of distribution
sure,
and all that.
Sure, absolutely. ChasingEarhart.com. Chris, we'll chat with you again as further news warrants, okay?
Thank you so much. Always a pleasure, sir.
Thank you for jumping on the phone again. ChasingEarhart.com. Fascinating stuff in that podcast with the last person to talk to Amelia. Sounds really good, too. 328 News next, 720 WGN.